This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
To the Callum McSwiggan Show. I am joined today by the wonderful, the beautiful, the handsome. It is Alexis Cott. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you very much.
I feel like at first I need to apologise for keeping you waiting.
I mean, it's fine. I was just going to take over the show myself.
You should have taken over the show. So apologies to the lovely listeners as well for my being tardy. I have been doing the show for over a year, to be fair, and this is the first time I've ever been late. So. My apologies. Let's talk about your show. Let's talk about your podcast.
Okay, let's.
I was actually listening to it today. So it's called Q-munity.
Q-munity.
But it with a Q, with the letter Q.
Q-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. It's a very intellectual pun on queer community, basically.
I love it. And what I love about it is I think... is that you dive into like LGBT plus issues, but you do it in a way that's really inclusive of lots of different people. So, you know, I've heard a lot of podcasts and things like that before where people are talking about these issues, but there may be, it would be like me sitting here and talking about trans issues, for instance, but not including a trans voice, for example. And is it just the first episode that's out right now?
So our trailer and the first episode are out now. And
yeah.
The first episode dropped at midnight. So
So it's literally brand new?
Literally brand new, yes.
Okay, amazing. Yes. So yeah, and I love that you're going above and beyond to include those voices, because I think it's really, really important. And sometimes it can be, you know, as white cis gay men, it can be very easy for us to just kind of take the torch and we're going to speak on behalf of the community, but it's almost like we don't actually have the right to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And where the original concept of community came from was realizing that actually we're labeled and told that you are the LGBT community, you are the gay community, but actually it felt like we were moving apart and losing solidarity, and people becoming more more siloed away from each other, and different conversations were being had in different places, and actually we weren't coming together as a community. We were losing our village halls, also known as gay bars, and they were becoming more and more niche and unfairly and unrepresentatively, that's not a word, but I'm just going to make it up there. When you see queer people represented in the media, it is middle class, attractive, white gay men.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because that is a whole section of society. But we're not the only section of society.
Absolutely.
There are so many different parts to our wonderful rainbow family. And so community was born about trying to find and build that middle ground and yeah. like bring people together to have central conversations about our shared collective identity of our sexuality.
Mm-hmm. And you were bringing people together, because the podcast was, well, portions of the podcast are filmed live in front of a live audience of yes. fellow LGBT plus people. And again, so you're almost like, not only are you, you know, talking about these things, but you're actually creating a space where people can come together and, you know, can kind of feel safe to talk about these things, which is, I think, in itself amazing.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, social media has been great for helping people find their places and find niche communities and learn about their identities and see trailblazers that are doing great things and changing representation. But it's also, particularly in the last couple of years, become very tribalistic and very angry.
Mm.
And it's not a safe space anymore to make a mistake or to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you accidentally, just out of naivety or accidental ignorance, if you use the wrong phrase or the wrong word, by the way, which change pretty regularly,
yeah,
you can be called out and had to go out and absolutely yeah. torn apart. And I mean, I'm not perfect. I have definitely done that before in the past. But I just kind of think, when we were creating these panel shows, we were inviting everybody into the room to kind of say, actually, let's have a open and honest conversation about these things. Let's put down the pitchforks and let's engage face to face. And another reason for bringing more people into the room is because myself and my co-host Chris Daniel, who is a brilliant and fun and very different voice and opinion to mine, she and I do not have all the answers.
Yes.
We yeah. do not even have all the questions. And we cannot and should not speak for an entirely wide-ranging community. So by bringing different people into the room, we can all have a conversation together. And massively, it takes the pressure off the two of us to say smart, sensible totally. Things, because we have fantastic people like the amazing Lady Phil join us. And I don't know if you've ever heard her speak, but she's the founder of UK Black Pride, and she's done lots of work with the Labour Party and is just incredibly intelligent and salient in her speaking and mm-hmm. talking points. And we've had lots of people come and talk about their experiences, and so that massively takes the pressure off Christiana and I, because we just get to learn and ask questions.
But it's lovely the way you almost you take what the people are saying and you almost frame the conversation around them. Like I like that it drops in and out of the two of you discussing the topics, and then it's like, right, and now we're going to hear from this person, because what they have to say about it is really important, and that's a wonderful thing. I wanted to go back to what you were just saying as well about the kind of how we can sometimes be torn apart for not having yeah. the right answers, or, you know, misstepping or saying the wrong thing. And I think it is increasingly becoming a problem. There's almost like this call-out culture, whereas mm-hmm. if anybody makes a mistake, there's a lot of people out there who want to tear those people down. But, you know, I always think of, we've had some amazing non-binary guests on this show, for instance, and they often talk about like the pronouns issue and yep. like misgendering. And they say that, you know, so often people accidentally misgender them, and that it does happen, but that they're not angry or upset or devastated about that. They appreciate that people do make mistakes sometimes. And I think there's a lot of kind of people taking offense on behalf of other people.
Yes.
And that runs rampant on social media.
Massively. I think because, so I used to tweet and be on Twitter, and at first it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. It was really funny and it was just very silly. And then people became aware of it as a platform for themselves.
Mm.
And it started to become much more political, and call out culture started mm-hmm. to develop, and people rushed. Again, myself included, I'm as guilty as this as anybody
I've
else.
I've done it. Or yeah. I feel like we've all done it, yeah.
People rushed to say the pithiest or most outraged thing in 140 characters, yeah. rather than actually taking time to really read into a story, to really look at what somebody said, to extend the benefit of the doubt and go, you know what, maybe they used the wrong term here, but actually what's their history like? Mm-hmm. Who are they as a person? And I just think that when we do that and we engage in this call-out culture, absolutely, if people are doing something wrong, they should be held accountable. But it's the way that
it's the way you do it. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Who we go after as well. Mm-hmm. If somebody, I mean, like, I will happily call Jacob Rees-Mogg out for his appalling LGBTQ voting record.
I don't actually know who that is. So, bad gay.
Yes, terrible. So he is, scarily, potentially our next Prime Minister in Britain. Okay. He is one of the chief Brexiteers, and however you feel about Brexit, whatever you agree about it, he is one of the people leading the charge and is potentially lining up to replace Theresa May if or when she goes. Mm. He has voted against every single piece of LGBTQ rights legislation in his time as an MP. Every single one. Theresa May, however, has only voted against some of them, not all of them. So, for example, she voted against equal marriage originally at the time, but not anymore. So someone like that should horrendously be called out. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that people should be held accountable to.
Yeah.
Somebody making an accidental mistake or a joke that has perhaps gone a bit off colour or just hasn't landed well, I think really we should extend the benefit to that and think, what is the damage that has been caused by this?
Yes.
Am I personally offended or hurt by this? Or am I perhaps just being outraged for outrage's sake for a few
people
retweets?
People love to be outraged. Yeah. They really take pleasure in it. They really, really take pleasure in it.
It's absolutely addictive. And I actually stopped using Twitter because I realised it was affecting me and my happiness and how I viewed people, because I was jumping on this bandwagon and getting caught up in the tide of it as well. And I remember quite clearly suddenly one day, lots of guys and gay guys that I was friends with and followed who would consider themselves left-wing liberal feminists, and they would describe them as feminists, all directly tweeting Kay Burley, criticizing her journalism. And whether you think Kay Burley is a good journalist or not, that's not my place to comment on. I'm not a professional. She is. And you know what? She's a woman who's had to fight hard to get where she is. So I'm not going to criticize that. But what occurred to me is there were a lot of white men shouting at a woman in the media because they didn't agree with how she...
Yeah.
And I was just like, that's not nice.
The thing about that as well is that I feel like there are steps and stages to it, because, you know, that's how it starts. But then I feel like it often then bleeds elsewhere. It starts on an attack on, I disagree with you. And then it moves to like saying, oh, you're a terrible journalist or whatever. And then it suddenly starts coming into personal insults and personal attacks. And, you know, people saying, oh, you're ugly or you're fat or you're, you know, bringing up all these irrelevant things. And it so quickly moves into that. And people feel justified in mocking people in those ways because they feel like they have the moral high ground. You know, we see it with, it's a classic example, and I hate to constantly bring him up, but like the Donald Trump thing, you know, instead of, you know, talking about what he's actually doing and talking about his policies and saying, I don't agree with this thing, and like, let's talk about this thing and, you know, let's pick apart that. Instead, it's just like, oh, he looks like a Cheeto. And like, I get that comic relief is sometimes needed in this time of like political distress, but it's not helpful. It's not helpful.
It's not. And we are all falling for a very clever media trick. Politicians like David Cameron, like Boris Johnson, like Trump, subscribe to this thing called dead cat politics, where if you throw a dead cat on the table, no one is talking about all the other horrible things because they're outraged by the fact you've just thrown a dead cat on the table. So we are falling for not even particularly clever tactics of distracting us all by something outrageously shiny over there on the right, when actually we should be looking at these terrible pieces of legislation that they're doing on the left. It's frustrating how we are all falling for it and not holding people to account for their actual behavior and damage because we're talking about what they tweeted.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's absolutely it. And it's a scary time that we are alive in. I think it's really interesting that you said you left Twitter, because that was actually going to be one of my questions for you, is, you know, why aren't you there anymore? And I think that's absolutely valid. You know, sometimes for your own mental health's sake, it's good to step away. Mm. But what I do love is your Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Because not only is it, you know, gorgeous pictures of yourself enjoying your life, but you also often talk about things on there. And there was a post in particular that really resonated with me, and that was the post that you did around Brighton Pride.
Yeah.
And saying how, I don't know if you want to talk about that or not, but how your experience was almost undermined by the... It was Britney related, I believe.
So Brighton Pride was a really, really conflicting experience for a lot of people who went this year. And I mean, I think I count myself as lucky that I found Brighton Pride conflicting, because there are a lot of people who found it outright alienating and unsafe and borderline dangerous and scary. But I think... So a couple of experiences that I saw on the day, for example, was I was in a food queue. And my friend Owen and I, we'd been in the queue for like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. And we were starting to get near the end and finally getting my falafel. And I just heard this young woman's voice behind me going, "Please get off me. I don't know you. Get off me." And turned around, and there was this heterosexual couple in their late 30s, early 40s, who were very drunk, putting their arms round these two young queer women who were visibly physically shrinking, and this straight couple were not letting go of them. And they were drunkenly saying, "Just pretend you know us, like we just want to skip the queue." And these two young queer women were saying, "We don't know you, get away. Off us."
Yeah.
And they weren't. Now, me being slightly bolshy, but also taking advantage of the fact that, you know what, I'm 6'3", and I'm a rugby player, so people... Generally, if I put on a stern voice...
I wouldn't want to get in a fight with you, Alexis.
Thanks very much. I kind of, was a bit of a dickhead and was just like, excuse me, get off her. She says get off her. Step off her now. And kind of like put on my deep voice. And immediately the guy squared up to him and was like, "What's your problem?" And his like girlfriend, wife also jumped in and was like, "What's your problem? Why are you having a problem? Chill out." It's like, because there is a young woman that you are physically touching despite... her not asking you to, and telling you to get off. And having to explain that and actually call them out, having just told everyone we shouldn't engage in call-out culture, I was there physically to their faces, calling them out on their bad behaviour.
Yeah.
And then there was another point earlier in the day when, again, we were queuing for a bar, and there was a group of kind of straight women in their 30s who were very drunk, who were trying to push through the queue... and making derogatory ooh misses sort of jokes about the gay men around them.
Yeah.
Like, I am all for heterosexual allies coming into queer life and culture. I think it's great, because if we are entirely siloed off, we don't get anywhere. But if you come into our house, oh my God, you should follow our goddamn rules.
And just have a little bit of respect.
Exactly. And there was no respect for the fact that they were in a queer space. And I turned round again, and we're just like, I think you need to check yourself. And one of them was like, "Chill out, you're at a festival." I was like,
"You're not at a festival."
That
would be my breaking point.
That was a red flag to me. And also to all the gays around who just went, I was like, "You are not at a festival. You are at Gay Pride. Have some respect."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Don't care, here to see Britney." And yeah, exactly. You can imagine the noises of the gays around them. And it's that thing. And two of my very, very dear friends, who are a wonderful lesbian couple, and their love makes me very happy to see, when they kissed and had a hug, they saw a group of people like looking at them like, Oh,
that's hard. That is honestly heartbreaking.
It really is. Because we still need pride events.
Yeah.
We still need safe spaces. The reality is that post-Brexit, LGBT hate crimes increased by over 140% in Britain. There were more LGBT hate crime attacks. The rise percentage, I mean, was higher than attacks on any other minority group. So our community is still physically vulnerable and being targeted. And you come into one of our safe spaces and you disrespect us like that? No, not on.
It's horrible.
And Brighton Pride was not Pride this year. It was a rainbow festival for straight people there to see Britney. And I thought that was very, very disappointing.
Yeah, and I must admit that personally, I did have a great Brighton Pride, and I fortunately and very luckily didn't actually encounter any of this. But you're not the only person I heard talking about it, and it does make me really sad, because I know that every time when I go to Pride, whether it's Brighton or anywhere else, I know that it's a space where I can finally be authentically and totally and completely myself without any kind of fear or worry. And you know, people may think I'm exaggerating or whatever, but like, we don't get to do that the rest of the time. If it's even, you know, maybe it's just like 1% of us, but there's always that little part of us which is saying, you know, hide your queerness, hide mm-hmm. it. And Pride is the one time when we don't get, where we get to do that. And to suddenly have people, you know, making, even if it's just a snide comment or joke, it's like, it's not the space to do it. And it's really sad. And I think it was amazing that Britney headlined. It was one of the biggest performances she ever did, which is incredible, but it brought in a lot of the wrong people. And so I don't know how we...
I'm just going to ask you a question.
Yes.
Why do you think it was amazing that Britney performed?
Oh, that is a very good question, actually. And yes, because the previous years, like Pet Shop Boys, yep. headlined with Years and Years,
yep.
amazing, because obviously they are all LGBT+ artists. I think for me, it was just like, to get such a big name at Pride there, it was like, wow, this is a big deal. But I guess you could argue that it is taking away from an LGBT+ artist space.
So I have no issue whatsoever with artists performing at Pride who are not LGBTQ.
Yep.
No issue at all. My thing with Britney performing, and I mean, let's not get this wrong, I will happily like dance to Britney, and if I'm in a rush, I will like put on some Britney to quickly mince along the road, but is she really a gay ally?
It's a really good point.
Can
because
anybody, and I would love to be proven wrong here by listeners, can anybody actually pinpoint any piece of activism
that
or
she's actually
allyship
done
that she has really genuinely demonstrated? So
it's an argument that I've made a few times before as well, when you know people talk about Britney being this gay icon, because you know you have like Lady Gaga, who has done on countless occasions done so much for the community, and like her Are You Listening speech was like literally I think like a moment in LGBT+ history, and then you have like Kylie Minogue, who was literally fighting cancer while standing up for our rights, you know.
Well, I think, for example, like if we take the kind of example, I mean, I'm very lucky. So you'd never guess from my accent, but my family live back in Sydney. Half of them do. So I go back to Sydney quite often to see yeah. them. And I was very fortunate that I got to see Kylie perform at Sydney Mardi Gras, yeah. which is the world's biggest gay pride festival. That year, which was the 35th anniversary, Kylie refused to take a fee. She paid for her dancers, her costumes. She paid for the stage and the lighting as a thank you to her gay fans for supporting her career and making her career.
That's amazing. It's incredible.
And not only did she not take a fee, she told the organizer of Sydney Mardi Gras, I want you to take this money that you would have paid me and donate that to LGBTQ charities.
That's incredible.
Then this year, Cher performed.
Yeah.
And Cher has very publicly been an LGBTQ ally and very outspoken about it. I mean, during the AIDS crisis, she was talking about it, and she was holding American politicians to account. And even during her Mardi Gras performance, she said, look, I just want to take a moment to thank you all for getting me where I am and sticking with me. She's like, I first encountered gay people back in the 60s. She was like, there were two hairdressers in town, and I just thought they were the most fun men. She was like, and I knew then that I wanted to spend my whole life around them. She was like, and I have. Hmm. Now, Britney literally only said happy pride once.
She also didn't know where she was for a moment.
Yeah, she absolutely had no idea where she was. Poor Britney.
You know, I don't want to attack Britney.
No,
you know,
absolutely
I don't think anybody has the responsibility to do that, and I think it's
completely
amazing that these people do. But I completely understand your original question. You know, why was it amazing that she was there? Personally, I would have, you know, preferred somebody like Kylie, but I didn't actually watch Britney Pride and Pride.
I mean,
I was there, but I didn't actually
really
watch
enjoyable.
It.
And I'm very pleased that I got to pay my Brighton Pride like money to see her do her tour, rather than the however many hundreds of pounds it is to go
yeah,
see her
yeah,
O2
absolutely.
Tour. But when people hold her up as this big name, who it was fantastic that she was at Pride. Do you know what? It's really good that Pride events are no longer taboo, and you can have pulling power to bring in big name stars. But I also think that as a community, if we're spending our money with these people, if we are building their careers, and let's be perfectly honest, it is teenage girls and gay men who build the careers of pop stars.
Totally. Absolutely.
We should get something back for our money.
Yeah.
And like, again, that's something I'm quite impressed about with Little Mix, for example. Which one of them was it? Oh, I don't know her name.
Jade, probably.
Probably.
She's the one lovely who's very Geordie outspoken, lass. Yeah.
Yes, incredibly outspoken. She did work with Stonewall. I just think that is what true pop allyship looks like.
Yeah.
And it's the startings of it. And I think we should hold people a bit more accountable for it. And yeah, by all means, enjoy listening to Britney records, but don't tell me that she's a huge gay ally.
I'm completely with you. Yeah. I'm glad we're in agreement with this. I'm sure there are people listening who don't agree. So,
I would love it if someone got in touch and was like, you know what, actually, this is Britney's donation to AmFAR. This is when she spoke out and she called out these politicians.
Yeah, totally.
But we'll see.
Well, Alexis, I think it's time for a little game. And so we're going to play a little bit of Porn or Not Porn.
Okay.
So in this game, I have five little sound bites. Some of them are taken from porn.
Okay.
And some are taken not from porn. And as you play rugby, we thought we would do it rugby themed this week.
Okay. Can I just make a disclaimer here?
Sure.
I don't watch porn.
Ever.
I gave up porn 2 months ago.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. Do you mind sharing the reasoning behind that?
I mean, we're millennials.
Yeah.
I think a lot of men and women, I think in particular gay men, we got our sexual education from pornography. And it's so available. And our society has become so sexualized. You turn on your phone and look at it and you see sexualized images.
Mm.
And I think that by us oversaturating ourselves with porn, we lose some of the connection of the real people that we're in bed with.
Sure.
And if you're holding up the people that you are sleeping with against what these...
to those standards,
that's unfair. We're only going to fall against that. Mm. And I think also porn is teaching us a performative style of sex and engagement and physical intimacy that I'm not sure is healthy for us long term. I mean, I personally know that since giving up porn, actually, sex has been much better and I have felt better about my body. So
that's amazing. I would say maybe I'll give up porn, but we all know that I won't. Maybe I will.
The first week is hard. I won't lie. The first week is hard, but it gets easier.
I would be like, okay, I'll give up porn. Then on day two, I'd be like, maybe just a quick look.
And you know what? As with all things, it's okay to relapse sometimes.
It is okay to relapse.
Yeah.
Shall we play the game?
Let's play the game.
Okay, I don't know the answers either, by the way. So we are working as a team here to figure these out. So the first one is...
getting your...
Oh, there's a lot of yelling. It's very loud.
Wait, can we play that again?
Yes.
getting your...
I heard like a slap. There was some kind of slap, which could have been like a bottom being slapped.
I mean, to be fair, there is also a lot of bottom slapping in rugby as well.
True, and towel whipping. Does that really happen?
Towel whipping, not so much.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Did someone shout, get it in, boy?
Oh, I don't know. Let's listen again.
get it in, yo!
Get it in, maybe get it in, boy. Get it in something.
Oh, I'm going to go rugby.
I think rugby too. I'm seeing like locker room banter. Is that what we're going with?
Oh, I wasn't going locker room banter. I was kind of thinking more the commentators and the crowds.
Oh, okay. But we're in agreement. We're saying that
we'll say rugby.
Yeah, this is not porn. Final answer. It is porn. Oh, this is Hunk's lost bet. A rugby coach is forced to give player a hand job for losing a bet.
I mean, who hasn't been there?
We've all been. Oh, and apparently the team were watching and yelling.
Oh, well, that's a nice bit of like team encouragement. Sport, yeah. You know, sport is very good for bringing people together.
In more ways than one.
Absolutely.
All right, our next one.
A bit of breath, hanging a bit.
That's rugby.
Is it?
That is someone saying they're hanging a bit. Like, that's quite a rugby player.
I'm
like,
so bad at understanding. I cannot hear what they're saying. So it's
a bit of breath, hanging a bit.
Saying I'm hanging a bit, like I'm hungover.
Yeah.
I could not
hear
that.
It's either that they're... It's saying... let's play it again.
Okay,
A bit out of breath, hanging a bit.
Oh, that out of breath. Yeah, no, that's right.
A bit out of breath, I'm hanging a bit.
I mean, who hasn't been out of breath in the bedroom as well?
Yeah, but I just feel like that wouldn't be said in porn, would it? Like, a bit out of breath, I'm hanging a bit.
Depends on the niche that you're interested in.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go rugby.
Yeah, me too, rugby. This is rugby,
Hey! Not
porn. Rugby player David Wilson explaining a try he scored.
Okay.
That, I don't know what that means.
Try is scoring. It's where you get it over the line.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Very, very good. All right,
for anyone who wants to look it up, David Wilson has amazing thighs.
Oh, I do like a thigh.
Yeah, well, rugby players would be your type. Got good thighs.
They're really not my type, though. I like a small, twinky kind of...
Same, 5'8", like nice smile, curly hair, like bright eyes. That's my thing.
Mm. And I feel like those kind of guys might go for somebody like you, stocky and muscly and...
Did you just call me stocky?
That's a compliment, isn't it? Stocky means muscly, doesn't it?
Don't think it is.
What does stocky mean?
I thought stocky was like a bit overweight, is it not?
I thought it was like an... I thought stocky was a compliment. Okay. So it was intended as such.
Okay,
it was intended as such. All right, next one.
So that sounds... Wait, play it again. Do you know what? I can't work out. This is either like some rowdy porn shower scene or that is the Irish... rugby fans singing. Oh no, it might be the Welsh.
It could be a combination of the two.
I'm not sure when Ireland and Wales last played. Oh no, last Six Nations. Sorry.
I feel like this one is too obviously rugby, so I'm leaning towards porn.
I'm going to go crowd singing at rugby.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's say rugby. Fine. Rugby.
Oh,
you should have gone with me, Alexis. It is porn. This is rough shower fun. A rugby team in the shower singing and shouting. The team finish showering and leave, but two guys stay behind and have sex in the shower.
Do you know what's really disappointing about that? I even got that it was in a shower.
You did, and you still didn't quite connect that it was
the singing that threw me off. I've never seen singing in porn before.
I would like singing in porn. I feel like it's
musical
never,
porn.
Musical
I mean,
porn.
I love musicals.
Has that been made? Have they made musical porn?
I mean...
They should.
Maybe you could start it.
Oh my God, I totally
Find
should
a
do
niche.
That.
That's the way to make
do
millions.
Do you want to go in with me? I mean, you won't be allowed to look at it, but...
I can't sing. I'm tone deaf.
Oh, I'm not going to sing either. We'll get some nice, beautiful boys to sing.
Oh, so like I could lip sync to the musicals?
Sure.
Okay, perfect.
Done. I think we're doing really bad. Have we got them all wrong? I think we've got them all wrong.
I mean, I did say that I don't watch porn anymore, so...
Next one.
Oh, I was underneath him.
Oh, right, that's rugby. Yeah, that... Who was that? I recognise that.
Do you really recognise the voice?
Yeah.
I was underneath him.
It makes sense as well, because in porn, you wouldn't be like, yeah, I was underneath him. Like, yeah, I can see.
I mean, you might be. You might be recounting a particular steamy story from the night before.
Perhaps.
Maybe it's audio porn, porn for the blind.
Oh, well, that'd be nice. I'm sure that exists, actually.
Oh, it must do.
It must do.
It must do.
I feel like even most porn would probably be quite good for the blind, I feel, maybe. I find there's a big difference if I'm in a place where I'm watching porn and I can't have the sound on. There's a huge difference for how
Sorry,
much.
Sorry, where are you watching porn?
Well, just like,
is this why you were late this evening? Were you watching porn on the train and you got stopped by a police officer? Is that what really happened, Callum?
It is, yeah, it is. But I had the sound off. I thought that was allowed.
I wish that everyone could see that you're blushing.
I am a little bit. Okay. I am a little bit. I've gone all shy.
I was underneath him.
I think we're saying rugby.
Rugby.
Yeah. Rugby, this is not porn. Porn, yay! Rugby player George Cruz, is that right? Yeah. Talking about being hurt in a ruck underneath another player.
That's really common.
What's a ruck?
So basically, you know when you see them all have like an aggressive hug on the ground?
Yes.
That's a ruck.
Okay,
that's
an aggressive hug.
You're fighting for possession of the ball.
Yeah.
And the ball carrier who has taken the ball into contact... You end up on the ground most of the time, and the defending team, so your team, charge up behind you to try and protect the ball, to try and keep possession of it. Then the other team, they
do
try
the same thing.
Well, they try and rock over to steal possession so they can either jackal it, they can drive you off it. But it can be quite a risky place to be if you are on the one on the floor, because you can end up with a boot in your face.
Oh, gosh.
That's happened to me.
So it sounds like a fun Friday night, though. lots of balls and... Sounds like a good time.
Boots to the face.
Boots to the face, my kind of thing.
Depends what you're into.
Our final one is...
Smash and bow! Hey.
Do you know what? I'm just going to say porn because I haven't said porn to any of them so far.
Okay.
So
I'm in with you. I think we're saying porn to this. Did you hear what they were saying?
No idea.
Dog and bone, I heard.
Oh.
Russian bone.
Russian bone, smash and bone.
So it could be
anything.
I mean,
neither of those are a rugby term.
Or sexual terms, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are saying porn for the final one. And the answer is not porn. We've just done diabolically at this.
Oh my God.
Really have. This is the Samoan rugby team chilling out after a match.
Holiday
Inn.
No, so that's not like a clip from rugby. That's just some guys hanging out.
Well, yeah, but it's still kind of rugby. It's rugby themed.
Okay, rugby adjacent.
Rugby adjacent.
Okay, so it's the Samoan rugby team.
Yeah.
Having a chat afterwards, okay.
Yeah, fun times.
Yeah. I have still no idea how they were talking about Russian bones or whatever.
Yeah, should we have that one more time?
Russian bones! Hey!
No idea.
Not a clue. We are going to be reacting to some of our lovely listeners' sex confessions very, very shortly. Ooh. If you are listening and you'd like to send in your last-minute confession, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. And we'll be back to react to those after a little bit of Everybody Loves You by Soak.
Everybody wants you, not me today, 'cause I'm done. Everybody loves you, not me, no way, I don't work that way, 'cause I was built from concrete, 'cause I don't hurt. I've been getting no sleep. What's it all for? I go numb when you speak. Just another flaw. And I hate when we meet. Does it say it all? Everybody wants you. Not me today. 'Cause I'm
ready for sex confessions.
I think so.
Yes. Okay. So thank you to all the lovely people who sent in your confessions. The first one is really long, and because you've got such a lovely, lovely speaking voice,
well,
Alexis,
thank you very much.
I think I'm going to have to hand this one over to you.
Okay. So I read it out.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Oh my, okay.
It's getting a little bit saucy in here.
Yes.
Okay. I was home with my mum and she told me she was going out to the garden. So I decided to use this time to play with myself.
Oh.
I was lying upside down against my bed, just jacking away when I heard my bedroom door. My mum had come looking for me, and when she opened my door, she found me butt naked, upside down, jacking my hard cock.
Wow.
Right when I saw her, I started to come and couldn't stop it. I came all over my face.
No.
She left my room, returned with a towel, and waited for me to clean off. Afterwards, we talked about it. If I was going to do this, make sure I was going to lock my door. And we never spoke of it again.
Oh my God. Like, how old was this person? I feel like this was quite a young scenario to happen.
I mean...
I love that they're also, like, lying upside down against the bed, like, properly going
good
for it.
Him.
When mum is just outside and she comes back. It's just that, like, I cannot imagine anything worse than that feeling of, oh, my God, I'm about to ejaculate, and then somebody walking in. Never mind it being pointed at my face at the at that moment in time.
Do you think they got eye contact?
Oh, my God. Can you just... I cannot imagine. I would want the entire... I would want the earth to just open up and swallow me whole.
Yeah.
And just... I couldn't. I think me, that would be the end of mine and my mother's relationship. That would be like, we've had a good run, but
I mean, you could just be very British about it. To be like, right, we are never going to speak about this again and take it to our graves.
I'm tremendously sorry, mother.
Yeah.
I seem to have got myself into a spot of bother.
But that's such a mum thing to do, though, to just walk in without knocking, or to do that and then walk in
and
straight
then walk
away.
Anyway. Yeah, I cannot bear it when people do that. Also, the fact that the mum came back with a towel. Is,
I mean, that's very considerate of
it's
her.
It's very thoughtful. But
I hope it wasn't one of her good towels.
That wouldn't be my response. I would just pretend I hadn't seen it and never speak of it again. But, you know, it was nice that she did bring the towel back and be like, you know, supportive mother.
Exactly. It's very good of her.
All right, our next one. I masturbated in a shared room with my cousin on holiday, not realizing he was awake. The next morning, he spilled the beans in front of my entire family over breakfast.
I mean, that's just poor form, isn't it?
It's just mean.
To spill.
Yeah, like what? Just.
I mean, when I say by to spill, I mean the cousin telling everyone, not him ejaculating.
Oh, that yeah. No, no, you know, everybody masturbates. It's a perfectly normal thing. And I'm sure the thing
was,
is...
Was that a lesser-known REM song, Everybody Masturbates?
Yeah.
Just the B-side.
Should have been a hit. I don't know why it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I don't understand why the... When I hear stories like this, I never understand why the other person does it, because do they not empathize and be like, oh, God, that could be me that just got caught masturbating
exactly.
in the middle of the night? You know, it could be me being embarrassed to the entire family. How do they not have that empathy? Yeah. I just couldn't do that to somebody else.
Is this you telling me that really I should apologize for telling you off for watching porn on the train on your way here?
Yes,
okay,
it is.
I'm very sorry. I don't mean to publicly shame you for...
Classic publicly shaming me.
I'm
always
so sorry.
Coming for me. Jesus. Just let me live my life. The next one's for you.
Okay. Oh, I feel like this one's a bit of a letdown. I'm sorry if this is yours, but I feel like you need to get on it and get some better confessions. I have a sexting buddy who lives in Australia. We'll probably never meet, but I have a feeling if we did, it would be some of the best sex I've ever had.
Oh,
well,
that's sweet, though.
No, this is about sex confessions. There is no sex in that confession.
To be fair, I do often say sex confessions or if you want any sex and dating advice. So I feel like this falls into the sex and dating advice category.
Yes, and my advice is to stop texting and find someone who lives in the same place as you and start doing it with them.
This is basically me. Like, I have, like, somebody I sexed in Canada, and, like, I have people all over the world, and none of them are actually close enough for me to reach. And, like, I've currently got a crush on a boy who lives in Paris, which isn't that far away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm always... And I think that it may actually be me, like, picking the guys who are far away because, like, subconsciously I don't want to commit or something.
I get that. You always want what you can't have.
Yeah, always want what you can't have. So I'm always falling in love with boys on the other side of the world. It's actually how I ended up living in London.
No way.
I fell in love with a boy here and moved here. Didn't work out, but got me here, and that's what matters.
Fair. Well, there you go.
I think just enjoy the sexting with this Australian.
Enjoy it, but...
Don't let it restrict you. Like,
well, just get some better confessions. Next!
Hard man to please. I was on a family holiday with my parents, sister, and her boyfriend. We all got pretty drunk, and my sister's boyfriend pulled me aside and told me that he was actually gay, and I was the only gay person he knew. He tried to make out with me, but I said no because my sister is my best friend. I helped him have the courage to come out, and now we go gay clubbing together. What a gentleman.
I mean, I have very mixed emotions about this.
Do you?
I do.
Go.
Good on him for taking the very moral upper hand, like, and doing the good thing in that situation. Because I think a lot of people would have lived out that porn fantasy that is. That's like...
Yeah, it's that a thing.
That is a thing. So good on him. I mean, and not only is that a good sex confession, but they come out very well of it. So well done, person.
Yeah,
who sent
it makes
that
them
in.
Look really, really good. Yeah. And I like that they go gay clubbing together now. Yeah. And I hope their sister wasn't too hurt either. Like, it must actually be quite a difficult thing to find out that your boyfriend is actually gay. I mean, it's obviously a lot more difficult for the gay person. I'm not saying that their experience is anything comparable, but it still can't be that easy if you're in love with somebody and they turn around.
I mean, well, I think you might be. I mean, yes, if you've had a long-term relationship with somebody and you think you're committed to this person for life, and then suddenly find out actually it's been a bit of a mirage. I can understand how that would make someone feel awful, but it doesn't take away what you... If you've still had good feelings about it during it, that's still good. But also, then again, if it's like, if you've been together for a few months, or
it's not the same thing.
And then you find out that they're gay, and it's like, well, you know what, it's got nothing to do with you.
Totally.
I like
the way you think, Alexis. Next one is for you.
Again, this is not a sex confession. There is even less sex and even less confession than in that last one. I ruined my favourite lipstick, drawing it on my partner, fuming. Well, you know what? I'm fuming that you sent that in and just wasted our time, to be perfectly honest. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't sound... I'm like trying to think, like, were they drawing on their genitals or something? But it doesn't seem like a sex confession, I will agree. But thanks for sending it in. Alexis doesn't look pleased.
I mean...
One night, me and my boyfriend were walking home after a party and saw that someone had thrown a mattress out on the ground in a park. So spur of the moment, we ended up having sex on the mattress. It was fun, but thinking back, God knows what was on that mattress. You
didn't get fleas.
I don't care about the fleas. I think, live your life, you know, those spontaneous moments, those, even if they're fun and ridiculous and you're having sex on a dirty, disgusting, flea-ridden mattress, I think, live your best life, enjoy that. That's a story you're going to tell people, like you've just told us here, and I think, amazing. Alexis's face says otherwise, go.
I mean, bed bugs, fleas, they've thrown out that mattress for a reason.
True.
Don't know what happened on there. Do it on the floor next to it. Don't do it on the mattress.
Yeah.
You're not going to, I mean, I might be wrong here. You're not going to get fleas from just like doing it in a field or on the ground or in the park.
And I would say that actually that would probably be more fun. Like, I've had a lot of sex like that. Like, sex on the ground is if you're on like the grass or something, it's great.
Yeah, like dirty,
need a mattress.
Dirty mattress.
Bit
that's
grim.
Been thrown out on the street.
A little bit grim.
I mean, what if someone had died on that mattress?
Oh, Alexis. Always lowering the tone on this show is an achievement, I'll tell you.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
We have just one more. This one is for you.
I want to try going to a dark room in a gay bar, but I'm scared. Have you ever been? What is it like?
I have been. I don't know if I've ever talked about like my own dark room experiences online. It depends. Like, do you want to go and just like have a look around, or do you want to go and like get involved? I think whatever you want, even if you want to go in there and have loads of sex, I think go in with a couple of friends the first time, just so you have like a safety blanket, you have somebody there, preferably somebody who's been before and knows like how it works. Just go in with a friend, just have a look around. You don't feel obliged to do anything. That would be my advice.
Yeah. So my first time that I ever went into one, probably of like one of two times I've ever been in one, I did exactly what you said. I lived in Amsterdam, and there is a club there called Church, and they have a big dark room, and I'd never been in one before.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, I took my friend's hand and was like, we're gonna go in. And then I pushed him in front of me. And I walked behind him the whole time because it was really dark and there were loads of like moaning noises and hands coming out of the darkness. And I just felt like I was in a zombie film.
Yes.
And
and I know, no. And then somebody touched me, like out of the dark, in like in my personal space.
Uh oh.
And I was a very bad friend. I literally like, pushed my friend forward, just like nope, no, and ran.
Absolutely not. I feel like my first ever time going into a dark room was kind of akin to my first time like going through one of those horror mazes. It's similar kind of, oh, I don't know what's going to happen in here. I'm very scared.
There is
it's
a lot
dark.
Of overlap between
the two
dark
things.
Room and horror maze. There really is. That's what, like, that's the next game you should play. Like, just sound
dark
clips
room
from,
or horror maze.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That, good on the people who go for them. It like, enjoy it. It's just not my thing. I get the giggles. I've been into them twice in my life. And neither time have I managed to not giggle really inappropriately and ruin it for everyone in there. So out of respect to the people who are getting their rocks off.
And you're just in the corner giggling like a little boy. No, I've done it. I've done it. I've done it as well. Like when, especially if you go in with a couple of friends, you just can't help it.
I just remembered something actually.
Yeah.
So I said I've been in one twice. I went there. So there is a large, well-known gay club in London under some railway arches, mm-hmm. and they only let men in, and only mask men.
Yeah.
I think people know what it might be.
We've already talked about it a lot on the show.
Right.
So.
Well, I once went into that dark room, again, with two friends, because we were trying to find my third friend, going, where is he? He's clearly off chasing a bear in there. So we went to find him so we could go home, because I was hungry and I wanted some food. And we found someone who'd collapsed in there.
Mm.
And...
That's worrying.
Yeah. And oh my, like, so again, so my two experiences of being in a dark room, getting the giggles and feeling like I was about to be attacked by zombies. Third experience of being in a dark room, finding someone who has collapsed and unconscious.
You've not had the best experiences.
No,
I've not. You're scaring this person away from ever wanting to.
I mean, I really don't mean to scare them away. Like, do it, try it, see if you enjoy it, stick your toe in. And if you do enjoy it, good on you. I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I feel
like I'm with you there.
I'm just, like, embarrassingly vanilla.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw. It's quite sweet.
Yeah, I don't have any kinks. I've tried.
Yeah.
Because I've wanted to be like, ooh, I'm going to explore my sexuality and develop a kink. And I went to, like, hard-on and, like, fetish club parties. Yeah. I'm just like...
It's not for you.
Not for me.
But what I think
and
is
good on them.
What I think is amazing that you identified that. I find it, you know, so many people don't actually know or understand what they want, and you have figured that out. Which, I mean, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I still feel like I'm figuring out mine. I'm just I'll do bit of this, bit of that, bit of this.
Like as long as it's consensual, as long as it's safe, try it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much to everyone who sent in your sex confessions. I want to talk a little bit more about your podcast, Alexis, and also about the future of your podcast.
Yes.
So obviously it's something you've been working on this for a while now, and you said midnight last night.
Yes.
The first episode dropped. So tell me all about like what we have for the next few episodes and then where the show's going long term.
So in series one of Community, this is a 10-part exploration of the past, present, and future of the LGBT community, our identity, and also our civil rights journey. So we kicked off episode one, which is out now, which is really asking a very, very big open-ended question of what does it mean to be LGBTQ mm-hmm. in 2018? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
And actually, I felt like a bad gay for not knowing what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And as I spoke to friends before doing the show, kind of asking them, what does this mean to you? I found out no two people have the same idea.
Yeah.
But through doing this show and through speaking to fantastic panelists who've got great, wide-ranging, diverse experiences and views and lenses of the world, the things that I was able to boil it down to were solidarity and empathy and a sense of belonging.
Mm.
Which really connects with what I feel are some of the best things about being gay, queer, LGBTQ, however you identify.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to explore. So the episode that drops next week, actually, we take it way back to the 1950s and we look at the last 51 years in a very, very quick 40-minute podcast. The last 51 years of British LGBTQ civil rights.
Oh, incredible.
Thank you. That was a fascinating one for me because I learned so much. We got to interview a fantastic guy called Dr. Ben O'Gamel, who is a He is a doctorate of queer history and teaches on the world's only master's course in queer history.
That's amazing. We interviewed
him. We have got some fantastic one-on-one interviews with people like Ms. Kimberly, who is a doyenne of the British drag and cabaret burlesque scene, talking about her life as a trans person from the 70s and 80s up till now. We've got David Stewart, who is a world-renowned sexual health and sexual enjoyment campaigner. And he and I have a very, very deep and emotional conversation about the realities of sex and intimacy as gay men in 2018.
Yeah.
We hear from fantastic trans people talking about their experiences. We hear from people coming from intersectional identities. As again, I think that's something that we don't quite take into consideration. We think you and I have the privilege of being white. And so our white privilege blinds us to the fact that actually, and to quote my exec producer, Kevin, some people are just busy being black, and gay rights and gay issues come second to the systemic and institutional racism that they face day to day in microaggressions. So we do speak to, as I mentioned earlier, fantastic people like Lady Phil, founder of UK Black Pride, as to why these things matter. We speak to people from Mermaids and the Albert Kennedy Trust, who are two fantastic LGBTQ charities, about how we can all get involved in charities that directly help people in our community, how we can all give back. So that's a very quick overview of series one of Community.
Sounds so incredible. Really, really incredible.
So it runs for 10 weeks every Wednesday, and some of it is very challenging. Some of it is going to make people feel uncomfortable, but hopefully, and I speak for myself when I say I have learned, but hopefully people will learn something else and just consider somebody else's perspective a little bit more, and hopefully reach out with a little bit more empathy sometimes. That's what we hope for series one. If for each episode ends with one thing that everyone can start doing to build a better LGBTQ community and be a better LGBT sibling to the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it to be actionable so we can all take responsibility.
Yeah.
So series two, what we are currently planning on is, currently there are only two hosts, myself and Christania, and she's fantastic, and she has brought in some wonderfully different views and opinions to mine, which has expanded my understanding. But series two, we're going further, and we are bringing more people into the conversation, and to really actually bring in lots of different narratives and lots of different stories that we don't hear particularly. We're going to go into deep dives into specific topics. So we're going to look and do a deep dive of the fetish scene.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
incredible.
Because I think one of the things that happens to us a lot is we talk about sexuality and we forget the sex.
Yeah, we skirt around it.
Absolutely. And it's fantastic that we have representation like Queer Eye. But those guys are pretty sexless.
Yeah.
And we want to avoid that.
Yes, yeah. And I think it's important. Yeah, I think it's really, really important.
For season two, also, being really frankly honest, in season one, we did not have the budget to get outside of London. And unfortunately, we have fallen into the trap of being really London-centric. We've tried, and so we've interviewed fantastic community groups like the Manchester Village Spartans, who are a Mancunian gay rugby club who do fantastic things in Manchester's gay village. But we want to take the show on the road and get more people from outside London sharing their stories of what it means to be LGBTQ, where they're from. So what have we got in common nationally? What are the challenges that they're facing that we might not be facing? What are the things that they are doing really well that we in big cities can learn from? One of the things I think is wonderful, if you go to places like Bristol or like Manchester, there seems, as someone not from there, to be a lot more cohesion in those queer communities, because they, frankly, they're less spread out.
Yeah.
And that might be naive of me to say because I don't live there. But
I mean, that's the whole point of looking into these things and discussing learning. These things and learning. And I think, you know, it's as much a learning experience for you as it is for your listeners.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So, yeah, we just want people to come, listen, empathize and learn.
It sounds amazing. I really, really can't wait to listen to the rest of season one season two when it happens as well. Where can people listen?
So we are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcast apps. All people need to do is search for Community. That is Q-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. We are on all of the social medias, and that is always at Community Pod, QMMUNITYPOD. And really what we want people to do is get involved in the conversation. Use hashtag Community Pod, have their opinion, have their say. We can't speak for everybody, and we will get things wrong. Don't call us out. Don't be angry. Don't reach the pitchfork. But say, actually, I don't agree with this, and here's why. But thank you for bringing this table to the discussion. Discussion to the table, even.
Amazing. Well, Alexis, you have been an amazing guest. It's been a pleasure to
thank you so much for having me
have you on the show. Oh, also, if people want to follow you as well, which they absolutely should, on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
It's at Lex.
At Toddler Lex.
Toddler Lex.
TODDLERLEX. My name is not Toddler Lex, like some people think. it is Toddler Lex, because I get told I'm a giant toddler.
You are a giant toddler.
Thanks. Happy and smiley and I like snacks.
And on that note, it's been great to have you here. And I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Jess Glynn. See you later.
Bye.